Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I read that this morning. I want to read it to you tonight. Share some things that God has spoken to my heart about. That if you are here without the Lord tonight, you're in the right place. This is your opportunity to leave a different person than you came. Not because that I'm preaching and not because of any of the people that's here. It's because what the Lord can do for you if you're obedient to His word. And the word of God is what makes the difference. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, on last Sunday night, I started with the subject of why does a person need to be saved? And dealing with the fact that in the garden, when Adam and Eve chose to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that they were formed in the likeness of God. They had a body, a soul, and a spirit. God had told them, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The day. You say, well, preacher, they didn't die right away. Well, their body died eventually, but their spirit died immediately. And now, the eternal part of man is the soul. Unless your spirit comes to life, please hear what I'm about to tell you. Unless you're made alive in Christ Jesus, then your soul only has two possible destinies. A wonderful place called heaven in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with the saints of God and those that have gone on before, or a horrible place called hell. It's a shame that our society has abused that. That's what the devil wanted to happen. He wanted them to abuse that word until finally people got comfortable with saying it, until now they don't take it serious. But it is serious. A million years from tonight, your soul will be somewhere. The soul is the eternal part of men and women that never ceases to exist. You are not a body with a soul, you're a soul with a body. And you need to make sure that your spirit is made alive in Christ, because only those that will stand in the presence of God's glory forever in a wonderful new heaven and a wonderful new earth are those that have had their soul saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and their spirit has been quickened by God. Now the Lord gives us the way that we can be saved in Romans 10, 9 and 10. He simply says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, I'm asked this question quite a bit, and I think it is a reasonable question for unsaved people to ask. They'll say, preacher, you mean to tell me that if I come down to the front of a church and I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I really believe that by saying a few words, then I can be changed forever. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's not because of just the words. There's a lot of words. It's the words that you say. See, God only has one requirement for you. The requirement is not that you have to be a part of Rubyville Church. The requirement is not that you have to have a bank account. The requirement is not that you have to succeed in life in certain economic areas. The requirement is you must be born again. The spirit inside of you is dead, and the spirit needs to be born to life. So I dealt a little bit with the fact that the spirit has died, but yet we were created in the likeness of God. And here's where it gets a little confusing with people. And I tell you why it's important to know the words that you say. And that's what I'm going to deal with tonight. To be in the likeness of God, we've got to understand something about God. And that's the problem. Even church people don't know a whole lot about God. I don't mean to be nasty about that, and I know the amens will be scarce tonight. But they don't. They don't know a lot about God. I listen to people talk, and to hear them talk, I say one thing, really, to be honest, I'm glad I got saved when I did, because it was simple to understand. And today, if you're a sinner trying to find your way to God, people sure have made it confusing. And the reason it's so confusing is they don't know who God is. See, if we're made in the likeness of God, we've got to understand what that means. Now, to be in the likeness of God, body, soul, and spirit. I mentioned last week, it's like a mirror. You look in the mirror, the reflection in the mirror is a reflection of you. So God has made us as a reflection of himself. Originally, when Adam was created, we were a reflection of God. He formed man out of the dust of the earth, breathed in the nostrils of man, that's the spirit, and man became a living soul. So man had a body, man had a soul, and man had a spirit. But in the Bible, see, a lot of people think that Jesus, they don't know the part of the beginning of all of it. See, before Jesus came to this world, he was the Word. There are three that bear record in heaven. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, you'll read about it. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now, when the Bible talks about in the beginning, he's not talking about the beginning of God, because God has always been. God has been, he is, and he will be forevermore. When he talks about the beginning, he's talking about the beginning of time, the beginning of man. He's not talking about the beginning of God. He's eternal. And so few people know that Jesus, that's why he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Jesus was the only begotten of the Father. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, how did that happen? Well, let's find out how it happened. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Turn there very quickly, if you will. John chapter 1. And verse 1, John chapter 1 and verse 1. If you're here tonight without a Bible, please share your Bible with somebody beside of you so that they can see it as well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. By who? By the Word. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now here comes the begotten part of it. He was the Word. But in verse 14, and the what? Word was made what? Flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only who? Begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So he's making it clear who this Word is. This Word is Jesus. Jesus was the Word in the beginning. When this earth was created, he was the Word. Well, preacher, where do you get that? Well, if you want to go to the beginning, let's go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis 1:1. Turn there. Genesis 1:1. Stay with me. I know where I'm going. Genesis 1:1. Here we have a beautiful picture of the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. In verse 1, we see the Father, God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, wait a minute. We just read that all things were made by the Word. You have to understand, when we talk about the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, equal in power. Equal in power. You have to see that. And here's the image that we're made of. When God made man equal, body, soul, and spirit, God never intended the body to die, nor the spirit to die, nor the soul to die. So here we have God the Father in verse 1. And the Bible says in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the what? Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Stop right there. God and the Spirit. But there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So far we see two that are mentioned. Where's the third one? Look in verse 3. And God said, that's Word. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. When you read through the other parts of creation until you come to man, it's always God said. All things were created by the word. By the word. Without the word, nothing was created that was created. Without the word of God, there would still be an earth that was without form and void. But it took the word of God. He spoke things into existence. The word. The amazing part of it is when you get to Philippians chapter 2, you'll read in Philippians chapter 2 something that goes along like this. Turn there with me if you will. I want you to see this. I know I'm running you through a lot of verses tonight, but don't worry. I'm going to preach here in just 1 minute. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. Who being in the form of God. Now, bear in mind, he's referring to Jesus. The previous verse, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, semicolon. That means this next phrase is about Jesus, who he just made reference to. He said, Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now, wait a minute. Man was first made in the likeness of God. And now the word is made flesh and made in the likeness of men. Just reverse. See, there's a reason for that. And he tells us what the reason is. And being found in fashion as a man, he, Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess of everything, of bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under there, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now you say, preacher, that's all interesting. But what's that got to do with salvation? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. When God created man, man was in the likeness of God. Everyone that was created after that is in the likeness of men. Because man lost the likeness of God. Jesus. Oh, Lord. Jesus decided, I will leave the glories of heaven. He took a 33 and a half year sabbatical from heaven to come in and wrap himself in flesh. And the word was made flesh. Why? Because Jesus could not save us from death until he died himself. And God cannot die. Just like your soul cannot die. But when the word was made flesh, he was made in the likeness of men. Yet without sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. He said, where man failed, I have come to succeed. And where man died, I have come to conquer death. And I have come to give you life. And I have come to change your life. And they crucified him, drove nails in his hands and in his feet. They pierced his side. 7 sayings from the cross, which among those 7 was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was dying for you. He was dying for me. He was dying for the world. As God drew the curtain of darkness across Calvary's brow, as God could not look upon sin, his son Jesus, the word that was wrapped in flesh, hung between the heavens and earth and died until he finally cried, it is finished. Where did he go? He went back to heaven. Back to heaven, how? As the Word. He was the Word, and he is the Word. Revelation 19 teaches us that in the end, John saw one whose vesture was dipped in blood, and on his thigh was the name written, the Word of God. Now hold on to this. You ready to get this now? Here it comes. I don't know if you can handle this or not. Not because I don't want you to think I lost my mind, but it's in the book. I want you to turn to John chapter 6, verse 53. In all my years of preaching, I've never heard anyone preach on this. I know there's nothing new under the sun, but I know why they avoid it. It says in here the reason why. It was a hard saying then. John chapter 6 and verse 53. The only time I've heard reference to this, it's been made incorrectly. The reference made to it is communion, and this isn't talking about communion. You'll find out why. John chapter 6 and verse 53, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Is there any part of that you don't understand? If you're going to have life, now I'm talking about the spirit is dead. He's trying to quicken the spirit. He said for life to come in you, you got to eat the flesh and drink the blood. I told you it's confusing. Boy, it's getting tied up here. Then Jesus said, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, what's the next three words? Hath eternal life. That's what we lost. And Jesus said, I will raise him up at the last day. He's telling you, you'll have eternal life, but your body's still going to die, but you're not going to stay dead. Your body's not gone forever. There'll be a new body. He'll raise us up with a glorified body likened unto the body of the resurrected Son of God. Watch what he says now. He says, I'll raise him up in the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me even shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat, because he knew they were aware of the manna that came. He said, they did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? What they're saying is, who can understand this? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? In other words, he said the word's going back to heaven. And he said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Now, I don't know how many of you were here on last Sunday night, but on last Sunday night I took my text from Hebrews 4:12. And it's the answer to the question that people have. What did he mean by eating his flesh and drinking his blood? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even the soul from the spirit. The question is, what is a two-edged sword? If he's likening the word of God unto a two-edged sword, what is a two-edged sword? If you go back and study it, you'll find out there is a Greek word for that sword. It is called a distemos. A distemos, it has two meanings. The first meaning of that means it is a sword that was known to the carrier as the drinker of blood. Do I have your attention now? In other words, they'd use it to take the blood out of a person's body, and it would destroy their body. The drinker of blood. He said the word of God is like that sword that is the drinker of blood. But then it has another meaning. It's a two-edged sword. The other meaning means twain spoken, or in our vernacular, it would be twice spoken. The word of God is a twice spoken sword. Boy, you say, preacher, you really got me confused now. What do you mean twice spoken? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Two sides. Thou shalt be saved. What it is Jesus was the Word of God. And he came to earth, wrapped himself in flesh, and became not just the written word, but the living word. When you come to an altar, now I hope you get this tonight. I know I'm preaching over time, but you've got to see what I'm about to say. Have you ever seen people come to the altar and they'll bawl and squall and cry and say, I feel better? And the next day they're right back into the same thing. They'll come to an altar and they'll pray for healing. And they'll say, oh Lord, I need healing. I want healing. I want the church to pray for my healing. Pray for healing. They'll say, I feel better. I feel like the Lord's touched me. But the next day they go out, next week, and they say something like this. Well, Lord, I'm going to give you just a few more days here. What hinders us from getting victory? Can I tell you what the main hindrance is? When I understand the Word of God as a two-edged sword, which means twice spoken, when I say, and I believe what I'm saying, when I say what He has already said, I put the other edge on the sword. You know the reason why that I asked you today? I said, I ask every one of you to do two things. What did I ask you to look up? Your favorite verse for salvation and your favorite verse for healing. There's a reason why. If you need healing or you need help, tonight what you need to do, Christian, you need to open your Bible to that verse. And you need to come up at this altar and read that verse twice spoken. And when you speak it twice, see, he already said it. You're just saying what he said. And if it's on my word, it doesn't make any, I can tell you you're right with God, that won't make any difference. But when he tells you, you're here tonight and lost. The reason you can't find the victory. And I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask some of the preachers tonight here. You preachers that you picked out a verse of salvation. Every one of you. I want you to take your Bible right now. Get up out of your seat. Take your Bible, preachers. I want you to come down on these altars. Open up your Bible to that verse. I want you to lay it on the altar. And then if you don't care to make your way back in behind that verse, behind your Bible, just turn to it, open it up, put it right there on the kneeling bench. If you can, I know some of you can't get around because of the block way there, but if you can, just move right in behind there. Look at this. Praise God. Praise God. Got it open? Okay, stand, if you will, all over the sanctuary. Howard, come, get ready to sing. Preachers are here with Bibles open. He said it once in the verse that they had. Why don't you come and let them show you that verse? And you can say it. And you can leave here with the help, the healing. You can leave here if you're lost with the salvation that you need. Some of you, you found your verse today, but you've not spoken it out. You ought to come to this altar tonight. You ought to open up to your verse and you ought to read it loud enough that every devil in hell can hear it. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to stand on it tonight and I'm going to stand on it tomorrow. It doesn't matter what I think or how I feel. It's what thus saith the word of God. It matters not what storm I face or what sin I'm guilty of. Jesus said by his word, I can be saved. By his word, I can have peace in my heart. By his word, I can claim the promise of help in the time of need. He's calling you to come. Howard, as we sing, if you have a need, if you need to be saved, you come to one of these men of God tonight. Let them show you. You can say that word. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, confess what? The word.